The reading of the first lesson, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 to 62, verse 3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations, the vindication and salvation of Zion. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God.
Our second lesson comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God.
Our gospel lesson is taken from Luke, the second chapter, verses 22 through 40. Jesus is presented in the temple. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon them.
Grace and peace to all of you on this last Sunday of 2020. For many months, people have been wishing for this year to hurry up and be done. Everyone is ready to move on, to put this year behind them, and welcome a new year with new hope. We are fatigued with 2020. The world is fatigued with 2020. We are so done with 2020. Except that the happenings of 2020 may not be done with us. All that has erupted in 2020 is not over. It has become part of who we are and part of our society. We cannot ignore, discard, or undo what has been done. As we look over the precipice into the great unknown of 2021, what we see is decidedly influenced by all that we have experienced in 2020. Our hope for the future grows out of our past. In one sense, we have already begun our new year already. Advent is our new beginning, already begun. The transition from one year to the next is marked in different ways. This year, though, is not like any other year of our lifetime. Whatever our habits and rituals around the new year, we share wounds and grief from many great losses these past months. We have had to face the broken places of our world, our nation, our churches, our families, and even ourselves. At the very least, we have had the comfort and familiarity of cherished routines pulled out from under us. For many, of course, it is far more than that. In addition to all of the losses, there is also a restlessness over the land and around the world. There is a deep fatigue that cannot be easily lifted. There is a soul weariness that invades our whole being. We grieve. As we look into 2021, we can already see that everything will not be as it was as when this year began. Everything will never be the same, whatever it has been. The unknown is still unknown, and future normal will be different from past normal. There is another danger that grows out of the tragedies of 2020. A great danger of this time lies beyond what we could all name as the many tragedies and difficulties of this past year. That danger is that we have, to some extent, become numb to the pain of our communities and of our world. This great danger is not our grief, but our refusal to embrace and express our grief, the inability to touch those places of pain and shock at what is happening and continues to happen, because it is just too hard to face it directly and too exhausting to care. It is easier to close our eyes and our ears and our hearts. We become numb and well defended, but it is a defense that comes at a high price. There is a Hasidic tale in which a disciple asks a rabbi, "Why does Torah tell us to place these words upon our hearts? Why does it not tell us to place these holy words in our hearts?" The rabbi answers, "It is because as we are, our hearts are closed, and we cannot place the holy words in our hearts. So we place them on top of our hearts, and there they stay until one day the heart breaks and the words fall in. So many times, we receive rich words of Scripture and loving words of friends and family, and they stay on top of our hearts. We may be disinclined to let those words fall in because a broken heart hurts. Suffering hurts, and it can make us unwilling to move or even try to make a difference. It can stun us into silence and inaction. We grow frozen and frightened as a way of attempting to prevent the hurt and to avoid the pain. It is easier to keep our hearts closed. If we stay numb and let what is happening just pass by us, protecting our hearts as best we can, the hurt remains and goes inward, deepening until greater damage can be done. If we do not turn the power of suffering toward new life, harm will come of it. Violence can erupt out of the restlessness beneath the surfaces of our lives. This coming new year calls us to let go and let our hearts break open, if that's what it takes, so that the holy words and their meaning can fall in and our hearts become open again, and thus our longing for healing can be realized. 4. The child has been born. The stunning vision of angels coming close to the earth, filling the scene with their glory, illuminating the heavens, and the chorus of voices raising up those whom others have disregarded and even discarded, has happened. The shepherds, the lowest of the low, have been raised up and have taken up their call to go and find the child in the manger. And they found and honored the hope of the world born in a manger. The wonder of Christmas Eve, the beauty of the music, the holy words, the lights, all this has taken place even in 2020. The miracles became real even to us in our state of COVID fatigue, or possibly other kinds of fatigue as well. Once again, whether experienced online or in person, the message of the magnificent truth of God's love for us and all of creation is again given this Christmas. We gave our all on Christmas Eve. We poured out the expressions of our faith in humanity, in possibility, in beauty, in God's love. We pulled out all the stops as worshipers and leaders of worship. We have perhaps exhausted our human resources and want to rest. How fitting then that we have this reading from the Gospel according to Luke, the account of Anna and Simeon, which can restore our energy and open up our hearts again. For God so loved the world, and we have a chance to look at it through their eyes. We have them both as role models of faith and action. And if we are too weary to do anything else, we can listen to their witness and revitalize our hope. Anna and Simeon have waited a long time, many, many years, for this moment. The scripture takes pains to describe their situations in detail in this one precious account. Otherwise, Anna and Simeon make no other appearance in all of the Bible. The power of these two people is often overlooked in the more dramatic and familiar events of Christmas. Simeon was a holy man, righteous and devout, dedicated to God. The Holy Spirit had come upon him and made a revelation known to him. The Holy Spirit let him know that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah. Simeon, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, would himself receive consolation. Anna was a prophet, a woman of great faith who was widowed at a young age and was inspired to spend her life at the temple, deepening her faith with fasting and prayer constantly, day and night, year after year, for most of her 84 years. Both of these persons had aligned their lives with God, and they yearned for consolation. They longed for redemption. Like us, they lived in a restless time of great difficulty. People suffered under the oppression of Roman rule. Many of their own religious leaders aligned themselves with the oppressors. Many people were poor, with few resources to sustain them through hard times. It was in this environment that Anna and Simeon waited with great conviction. Their faith was strong, and they kept their hearts open, and they did not count the cost. In this account from Luke's gospel, Mary and Joseph are coming to the temple for the presentation of their firstborn son. It is part of the rites and the rituals of birth. They make their sacrifice of two birds. And then in comes Simeon, and he eagerly scoops Jesus out of his parents' arms, stranger though he was to them. Simeon couldn't hold back. God's revelation had come to pass after all that time, all those years. Simeon began to praise God and cried out, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." There must have been an urgency in Simeon that made Mary and Joseph allow the stranger to hold their precious child. There was more, of course, to Simeon's words of prophecy about the destiny of Jesus, and not all of it pleasing to a mother's heart. Simeon spoke what he had been given by the Spirit, including telling Mary about the sword that would pierce her deepest emotional and spiritual core. Then Anna appears and also begins to praise God and to tell all who were looking for the redemption of Israel about this child. How did they know? How did Simeon and Anna know that this child was the one for whom they had been waiting? We don't know the full answer to that question. It is a mystery. We do know they didn't waste any time once they recognized who this child was. There is no sense that either Anna or Simeon would live long enough to benefit from the spiritual wisdom and teaching of a fully mature Jesus. This moment of recognition, this chance to hold the consolation of Israel and to proclaim its redemption, that was enough. They recognized Jesus. They named and they claimed the gift. That is still how it is. If we truly recognize Jesus, then the gift is ours to name and claim. But we must claim it and act accordingly with a passion and urgency that moved Simeon and Anna. There is work to be done and proclamation to be made. Come then and receive the consolation and accept the redemption named by Simeon and Anna, two wisdom figures whose quiet determination can move us on and into living out the truth as revealed by God. Now is a time to look forward into a new era, as Anna did, as did Simeon. Her prophecy was rooted in the past, but pointed toward the future and a new world transformed. His prophecy was true and a proclamation in the fullness of time. Now, the child is born, and we, centered in God and called to love, prepare to participate in God's desire for the world, with hearts broken open to the world. Don't let numbness or fatigue, COVID or otherwise, take over. Don't put blinders on and declare 2020 and what it has brought to be over and done. It's not. The prophecy of Simeon pointed to hard truths as he spoke to Mary. Anna pointed to a new era, but one with a new uncertainty. They both let their hearts stay open. They did not count the cost. And holy words and their meaning did fall into their hearts, and their lives were fulfilled. Better to take courage and look straight into all that 2020 has brought to us as we prepare to go into 2021. Never have the American theologian Howard Thurman's words been so true or so needed. He wrote, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers and sisters, to make music in the heart." There is good news and work to do. There is good news this Christmas, good news to live and celebrate. Now, may you go in peace to recognize, name, claim, and proclaim, just as Anna and Simeon did, the gift born among us. In doing so, you will be both consoled and redeemed. Peace be with you. Amen.